Hello, beautiful people, and welcome back to another episode of Two Girls, One Doc.
One Doc.
It's your girl, BD.
It is Forens the Foodie.
And we are back.
We back.
With another episode.
Yeah. It's still
it's hot
as hell.
I was going to say,
today.
It's hot as hell.
I have my fan on. BD doesn't, but
yeah,
I have my fan on.
I really hated the way that it sounded, and I know, like, I'm extra. I get it. Yeah, but this is who I am. And I'm like, cool, we'll be recording for what, an hour? It's fine. If I die, I die. Do you know what I mean? At least you'll know it was for you.
I, for one, have my fan on.
This is literally like perfect demonstration of like us.
Yeah, it's literally us.
I'm like, us in a nutshell.
I'm not going to be uncomfortable for any reason. And she's like, nah, anything for the
I'm like,
content.
I'll be uncomfortable for an hour, but then the footage lives forever. Do you know what I mean? Anyway.
Do you know what, this documentary let me down. I think it had a lot of like clickbait. Not, I don't know if clickbait is the right thing.
I don't think it was clickbait. I think that that clip just happened to go
viral.
Make the rounds of social
media. But it wasn't that interesting. I think it is very akin to the brothel one. It's Channel 4, same Channel 4. So.
Yeah, definitely given Channel 4. I think that it's a documentary about nothing in particular.
Yeah.
So it's just one of those ones where it just follows the lives of people who are there.
I
didn't mind it
a bit more.
I didn't really expect much from it though, to be honest. So
I didn't mind it, but they could have done more.
What did you want? What more did you want from it? Like, what would have made it better?
I don't know. I really couldn't tell you. I wasn't that engaged.
It didn't hit the spot.
Yeah. Do you know what it is? I think when we did the brothel one, we were very early in our.
I think you just had more vim for it back then, to be honest.
But for the.
For the that documentary compared to this one.
Oh no, I was very excited for this before I watched it, but I think we were early on in our podcast days, we hadn't watched that many documentaries, so now I've watched some really
you're
good,
comparing
yeah
to,
documentaries but, and I'm
but,
like
but
I'm
compare,
spoiled
okay,
for choice.
It's not fair to compare to, like, I don't say proper documentaries but like proper documentaries. If you compare it to the very British brothel one,
they're
how does
equal.
It compare? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's what I expected. But I do think that the brothel
and there
was better
nostalgia.
In terms of the in-depth of the, like, people, like, exploring the people themselves.
Who, this one?
No, the other one.
Yeah. And there's a lot of nostalgia attached to that one as well. Because that was, like, the first documentary we ever watched together. Or was it?
Yeah,
no.
It was one of the first ones where we, like,
I think you messaged me or something.
And we were like, oh, my God, watch this. Yeah, that's true. So, yeah. I liked it, though, for what it was. Like, it's not, like, we watched it on YouTube just for context. So you already know the vibe.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it was good. It was nice. I liked it.
I am drinking today. It's
a red. Tea. What are you drinking? Let me see. Oh, so you have a good amount in there.
It's very, like, perfumey.
Is that good or bad?
Oh, it's good. Like, it literally
it's
smells
fragrant.
Like I would spray it on my body.
Oh, okay. I don't know how.
No,
okay.
It's good, but it's a
good
wine. Good.
Okay, so tell us, what's it called? Who is she?
It has a creamy afterbirth.
Creamy, is that like one of the actual things or
okay. Maybe more vanilla-y, that's what you would describe it as,
was in the flavor.
Yeah,
but the creaminess is that not like the texture.
Mm-mm.
Or it tastes like cream, like pina colada
afterwards. And it's very fruity, very sweet.
Is it actually, send me a picture of this one. Did you upload the other ones?
It's not
Oh my god! But
by the time
you
guys
sweet
watch,
though.
By the time you guys watch it, it'll be up, huh?
You said it's sweet. I like
it. It's not your kind of sweet.
So it's not sweet. Okay.
It is sweet. Like, I can taste the sweetness, but it's not like it's not a Moscato.
Fair
enough.
Really,
but then I've become a red drinker.
Yeah. I like a red now. I am drinking. I'm representing for the sober girlies, the girlies that aren't drinking. Alcohols, but I'm also drinking it in a wine glass because I don't know, I feel like drinks taste better in a wine glass. It's apple juice with a splash of lemonade.
This is like when you were a kid.
Delightful. And if you tilt it to 45 degrees,
you'll see nothing.
You can see the legs. Beautiful.
You know, the legs thing doesn't even mean anything.
It's just a way for people to feel better about themselves or to feel
better
than other
people. Yeah, it's just
the
pretentious thing people say, but it actually doesn't act like, it doesn't mean anything. So obviously with legs, it's just about the alcohol consistency. So obviously if it's got those legs that come down, then it just means, like, it tells you about how potent it is, or the
so what, the more, what, so what is the correlation?
So the more
then?
Alcohol, the thicker, or the thicker the legs are, and obviously the long, like, the longer it takes for the drink
for the legs to
yeah, but to fall. if it's like, it's like swelling,
like mine has no legs because there's no alcohol in it.
Exactly. But it doesn't actually mean sense. Anything in terms of if it's good wine or not,
the quality, like, of the wine.
Yeah, that doesn't mean anything. This is really good. Wow, fantastic.
Anyway, let us know what it's called so we can purchase ourselves.
Yeah, I've been super pretentious, but yeah, cool, I will do. All right, so this documentary opens up at a sauna, and it's in Nottingham, and it's called CS2. And basically the whole thing about this is, like, it's so inconspicuous. It looks like you could be walking past anything.
You wouldn't even, like,
you wouldn't even know this is what's going on in there. Yeah, like, you would never think. So downstairs, so we enter inside and we meet Joe and John, and they're the owners. And downstairs is like a normal spa, there's a jacuzzi, there's a steam room, everything is normal.
Yeah.
When you go upstairs, that's where
the magic happens.
So there are different rooms. Each room has condom lubes, and so one of the rooms, it's just like a, it looks like a bed thing, but not really bed. I don't know what that was.
Yeah, it looks like, okay, you know, in PE, like, when you had those thinking, like, mats. Yeah, it's like that. So if you imagine like a stepped, like a seat, like a, yeah, a bench, and then like a stepped bench going upwards, and then each one of those has like the massive PE mats on it.
Yeah,
that's what it is.
So
that's the cine room, they call it.
Yeah,
right?
It doesn't look really comfortable. Then there's another one that has like,
but it looks easy to clean.
Yeah, well, that's true. Another one that has like a bed like thing. Then there's a glory hole like section.
It's like fake toilets, but it's just like cubicles with glory holes.
And then there's like a dark room where when you enter, everything is pitch black. Like, generally upstairs is very, very dark anyways. So John and Joe, who run the sauna, are a couple, and they're in an open relationship. So they actually use the facilities themselves.
Yeah, and they've never been monogamous. Like, there was
they've
no point
never,
at which they
yeah,
monogamous.
They've always been, I don't open. Know if poly, yeah, open, yeah. So we see people coming in, and it's a £12 entrance fee. Don't sign up. There's no membership. You just come in, pay your 12 quid, go
fam,
in.
No commitment, fam. This is literally like, it all like ties it in all, together. No commitment. Don't no be a commitment. Member. Just come as you want. Fuck who you want.
So Joe is basically saying that he's deciding to propose to John. Like, they've been together for years. It's the natural step. It's legalized now. He wants to marry him. So now we meet 69-year-old Naval, and he's a former English teacher, and he's a regular at the sauna. Yeah, he's an English teacher.
You could tell he was a ting when, at this point, I was like,
yeah,
you could tell this guy
was
a ting when he was younger.
Yeah,
and then they show a picture of him later, and I'm like, I knew it, man.
He is super beautiful.
Yeah,
and he now. So he says,
I do believe that men are promiscuous anyway by instinct. They are more likely to stray. And I often say that one of the reasons you get orgies at a gay bath is because there is no woman there to say no.
And then he says that, like, there are loads of orgies in this sauna because there are no there are no women saying no. Like, it's all good fun. Like, okay. And it's like, at least it sounds like you would respect a woman if she said no.
This is what I said.
A win
is
a win.
When you said it, I was like, okay, something about the statement has struck me the wrong way. But then I was like, okay, at least, like, if a woman says no, you'd be like, okay, cool, now the fun is ruined, as opposed to now we're going to continue. But then also, like, I'm sure that men can also say no. Like, maybe there's a man out there who would want to say no.
But you know, I was thinking about this when I was watching this documentary. And I don't think it's that men are more likely to stray. I realised the reason why. Not only, obviously, we know society enables men to be promiscuous and to stray and gives this boys will be boys. But do you know why I deeped that men are, like, not only does society enable it, but they can? It's because men never really deal with the consequences of sex. So when I say that, I mean, like,
unless they get like an STI.
And even if they get an STI, I know many a man that have had an STI. None of my partners, but I just know loads of people that have had STIs, and it's just like, you go to the clinic, do your thing.
And also, like, women can get STIs too, so, like, that's one-on-one.
That's one-on-one. They go to the clinic, do your thing, and the way men are set up anyways, they would still have sex with a girl knowing that they had an STI anyways. Not to say that's right, but I'm just saying. But also, they don't have to deal with contraception. They don't have to deal with pregnancy.
Yeah.
even a lot of these STIs cause a lot of like infertility in women and men for most
but
of them.
But does it not cause infertility in men as well? Because I was going to say that, but does
some of them do, but for the most part, like I don't think chlamydia does, but for women it
in acts, men, it doesn't.
No, but I think for women, it, I know it doesn't. When it's laid dormant, it actively does. And then I think, I could be wrong, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think there are some where like the symptoms can be undetectable in women, whereas men, like their symptoms are like, so it's even with that, it's easier for them to know.
They're more
that
likely
they have,
to be, then detect and then get treated.
So that's why I was like, of course you're going to be promiscuous. Like, you don't have to.
Now, why wouldn't you be?
Yeah, like for a woman to have sex, you have to think of so many things in terms of, okay, if I don't have a kid with this person, I should be on some sort of birth control. Do condoms work? We could be allergic to condoms. The guy may not really want to use condoms. Like, there's so many layers to a woman having sex. And then if a woman is like having sex with loads of guys, and let's say she has multiple baby daddies, like there's all that stigma. Like, but with men, they just don't have that.
Let a man have a kid and leave, and
it's fine.
Really,
and the single mum is still the one that's gotten onto. It's just wild. Like, I realize that, yeah, not only does society enable it, but because men, for the most part, don't deal with the consequences of like sex, of course they have the freedom to imagine having endless sex and not worrying about if you're going to get
about
pregnant.
About anyone's getting pregnant. Yeah.
Girl, bye.
And so then they have the condoms and the lube there, so it's like you're really limiting the transmission of an STD anyway, so you're not worried about that.
You're not worried about that. Like, it's
and
all
then
mad.
You guys are allowed to like kind of like not really worry about feelings, and like there's the expectation that guys don't really care. Yeah, that level of detachment. So it's like, cool, we're just coming here to have a good time, like, yeah, let's do our thing and be gone.
Yeah. I saw this girl on TikTok and she has AIDS, and she was basically saying that like she doesn't know who gave it to her. But she said she was messing with a celebrity, and she saw him doing an interview, and some of the stuff he's saying like makes her think that he, so, and the reason I'm laughing is because in the comment, you know, like on TikTok when you watch a video you can see the search bar,
yeah,
it was saying Nick Cannon.
Why does TikTok do that? Like, it literally I don't know how it does that. I don't know how it comes up with the, unless it takes what's in the comments.
Sometimes it's shady as fuck.
Yeah.
But either way, it was just super sad because it, I don't know if you guys have watched it, but you should definitely watch it if you haven't. It's called It Is a Sin. Have you watched it?
It's on BBC. It's a Sin.
Yeah. Have you watched it?
I started it. I don't think I finished it yet. It's like a series, isn't it?
Yeah, it's limited edition. Sad. Like, it's so sad, but it's also so good because, like, we all know about, like, the AIDS, like, pandemic. Yeah. Was it epidemic or pandemic?
Epidemic.
One of the two.
It was bad.
Yeah, you all know about it, but, like, this really was just, like, and these are just people living their lives. And the truth of the matter is most of them, because it was a new disease in a sense, they didn't know any better.
Yeah, like, exactly.
And even
they didn't
as,
know what it was going to do.
Yeah, and
how
even as medical
was,
professionals
spread,
were learning, yeah. they weren't educating them. So,
and also there was such negative stigma around it all as well. So it's kind of like, oh, that's that gay, that's what you get for being gay. So there was that on top of not knowing.
Yep, it was really, yeah. So anyways, I say all this to say, wrap it up, woman or man, you know, whatever you identify as,
no
just
love,
wrap it up.
No love.
Yeah. So, unless you're married, then...
Even then, have you not heard of married women getting AIDS from their
joking,
partners? Come on.
But, I mean, the thought of using a condom in a marriage is... God. I literally got married for this reason.
To avoid
bear back in peace.
Forget love.
With no glove. Forget the love. I just... Yeah. But anyways, so we see him, like, he's making his way through... the thing, making his way downtown.
Making my way downtown.
Yeah.
Walking fast. Dicks are passing. I'm low bound.
Girl. He's making his way through this sauna, yeah. Easy white chocolate. God, I fucking hate Terry Crews. So he's making his way through this sauna. And then he gets to this door. I don't know if you saw this scene. It was actually a jump scare. I rewound. Yeah, I rewound it. Like, is that a word?
Which bit? Which
Why
bit?
Does it sound wrong? Does the word
rewinded? Rewound? No, it must be rewound. Rewinded sounds.
Let's
weird.
Not do this again. Remember the 2020 debate?
Let's rewound. Rewind. I went back.
I went back.
Rewound for 500, Alex.
I did it like 3 times. Yeah, he went into a room, opened it, and there were these people that were getting out. We don't see the people, we just see two,
the movement
bodies. It looks like eels because they're all like wet and stuff. Yeah. And then so they obviously jump up and one grabs a towel and there are stains on the towel. Did you see it?
Oh, I didn't see that. I didn't see that.
I literally screamed. It looked like poo-poo.
What kind of stains?
Poo-poo stains.
Brown stains.
Brown stains on the... Well, and do you know what for me... Oh, I feel sick. Do you know what for me? All power to like... I don't really care people want to do all this. But do you know what would turn me off about these things? Yeah. It's not the multiple sexual partners. It really is like... It's actually...
The fluids.
Gross. Like, this...
The bodily fluids.
I honestly feel nauseous. Like, the sauna, like, everyone is just getting in there, yeah? And then you're showering, and then you go upstairs. There must be, like, wet hair everywhere.
Yeah, because the rule is that before you do any... Like, it's not even about the sexy time. Even if you're going to just use this jacuzzi or whatever, before you do any of that, you have to shower. Like, communal showers.
But you're trusting
showers.
That people will shower.
Yeah, and you're trusting that the showers are clean.
Oh, the wet hair. The
yeah, I know you have a thing about wet hair.
Oh, all right, guys, I have this thing about wet hair. I struggle to even wash my own hair. Like, when wet hair like is stuck onto something, it makes me so uncomfortable.
Yeah,
like,
I remember this from years ago. Whew. It's like your equivalent to like me hearing the sound of people brushing their teeth. Yeah, or like seeing it. Yeah, yeah. I don't like that shit.
I have a friend that when I have a tooth, she brushes her teeth. And I don't care, but I just thought, oh my God, you could not be friends with this person.
No, impossible. I don't care. Even like when we're watching Love Island, yeah, and they're all just like brushing their teeth, having conversations. If you're brushing your teeth, brush your teeth. What's there to talk about?
I don't mind.
It will take two, three minutes, babe. Just do that, and then we can resume our conversation.
It's not that deep.
I don't get it.
But I get that your thing, because that's me with wet hair.
Yeah, okay, cool. So everyone's got their thing.
Yeah, no, I get that it's your thing. I just do, yeah, like, but oh God, that sauna must be gross. Anyways. So, that was a jump scare moment. And we learned that Narvel's been in a relationship for over 40 years. They say 40 years here,
but yeah, then but later on they say 38. Yeah. So I think they're just trying to round up.
Yeah, his partner does not visit these saunas and it's becoming a big issue for them, which I understand because I just feel like if you're going to do this, like with Joe and John, be aligned, right?
Exactly. You guys are open, you've been open, you're both happy being open.
Yeah,
but how can one person be open and one person be closed? And
it doesn't
make
sense.
How can two walk together if they don't agree?
Yeah. So we're back with Joe and John and... They say they've always been swingers, and although jealousy has sometimes been a problem, they love each other. And then we have this whole like little like bit that I found funny about talking about the day they met and how they met at like a gay bar, and
it was raided by police,
and Joe, and then Joe was like to John, or John was like to Joe. One of them was like to the other. Listen, yeah. I'm not going back with you. I'm not having sex with you, even if we go back. And then Joe was basically like, oh yeah, and his knickers were round his ankles before he even got through the door. I was like, top tier banter.
They literally are such like
I wish they were my uncles.
That they were gay.
Yeah, huh? I wish they were my uncles.
Yeah. They are just so typical, like if you went to the pub, yeah, or like a football match, they would be there with like a pint in hand, yeah. And like they would just be whatever. And they're older, so like them having been in a relationship for however long, yeah, it's for like 30 years, it's like back then it actually wasn't accepted or okay to be gay.
It was dangerous, in fact, to be gay.
And like they just give off like just the most, they are just, you can tell that they're friends and they fuck with each other.
Yeah, they fuck with each other heavy. So they go into
heavy. I heard you do it in the last episode that I edited, but I didn't hear it when we were recording. So like when I was editing, I was like, dream girls, literally.
always and always, when I die, put a dream girls coat on my tombstone. Effie White, okay. Probably.
You gets to go, Effie.
Curtis is supposed to love me. So actually, do you know what you should do? You guys should just put a QR code on my tombstone, and then when people scan it, it then takes you to the Dreamgirls soundtrack.
Okay,
that's what I would want on my, because I feel like that whole soundtrack is an embodiment of just who I am.
I can't think of the drama,
the victimhood, the
Woe is me.
The talent. There's a lot of talent.
The vocals, in fact.
The vocals.
Especially the vocals. Primarily the vocals.
It is a lot of me. It's a lot of man drama. That was me. That was really me.
Back in the day.
Back in the day, that was
you
me.
Are delivered.
I'm delivered. So yeah, that's me.
Okay, Raven.
So that's also me, because apparently we look alike. That I what, you see.
Raven Simonier.
Yeah, I used to get that a lot.
It's because you're light skinned.
But she's not even as light skinned.
Yeah, but I guess
I used to get,
I don't know. I guess you're both like animated and like dramatic and like.
I used to get Raven Chloe when she was chubby, and
Chloe, yeah, Kardashian,
and Adele. I don't like how I. Okay.
Anyways.
So Joe proposes to John, and he accepts, and it's like, oh, this is so cute, and like he starts crying as well, and it's like, yeah, I get it that like it's emotional, but you've been together for so long, you must have seen this one coming.
Yeah, but maybe not though, because I think at the time of this documentary, gay marriage had only been legal for like, I think it was legalized the year before this documentary came out. So I guess maybe it was like, oh, probably on our to-do list, but like it's
not
still
imminent,
nice. Like, you that's married, yeah. Mm. When you were proposed to, like, of course you knew it was coming because you've been in this relationship, like you know where it's going. Mm. Like, were you not still happy?
I was still happy, of course. But I'm just saying, like.
Get on with it.
Yeah, like you've been together ages. If I'd been together,
what else
long,
were you gonna do?
I would have been like, about time. Like that woman
it's
that wrote in her
time.
In her vows about. Speaking of, we never discussed if you thought that Lizzo did the allegations.
Oh, the things. I feel like some of the things were like, okay, she was mean to me, right? But some of the things were like. I was like, girl. So like, you know, the thing with the
banana,
the banana and the sex worker. I was like, this is too outrageous to just be like, where they come from. It's too specific.
Oh, okay. Like, we're thinking different things.
Oh, what are you saying?
I mean, obviously I always believe victims, but there just been too many inconsistencies since this stuff came out. And the vibe.
What have you heard?
First of all, there was the clip of one of the disgruntled employees then applying to be back in Lizzo's, working for Lizzo the next year. Like, there's a tape of her saying, like, oh, she's had the best time. It's been such a great time, great environment. She wants to come back, blah, blah, blah.
After the initial thing, this,
yeah,
after
and
the
like,
initial allegation.
Obviously, yeah, like, we all have those instances where we're working, so we're not happy, but we grin and bear it. But you didn't have to reapply to work with her. Mm-hmm. So that one you can't say, like, it's not like you did a promotional video. I don't understand why she reapplied for it.
I think that's okay, that's a good point. But then also, like, I think in these situations, if your opportunities as a bigger girl in the industry are limited, maybe that is one of the only options that you have. So you're just kind of like, okay, well, firm it. But then I guess what you're saying is, oh, well, if it was that bad, why would
you could
have again?
Spoken, because you've spoken out now. Do you know what I
is
mean?
Is this someone who... Was this one of the original girls? Or
yeah.
Is this someone else who...
This is one of the original
when
girls.
When they did that interview, was it TMZ interview or whatever interview? I was like, guys, man.
And
like,
that was another thing. It just... And also, they couldn't even agree that say that it was her that was... Perhaps, oh, it was people around her, but...
Of
because
her team
she,
and stuff.
Yeah, and it was just
yeah,
like...
Yeah, but that banana thing, though. That was her. That they
so
said.
They say. I don't really believe that.
I don't know, man. I'm not... You know me, I'm not a counsellor. I feel like counselling people is holding people accountable.
I mean,
like, if she's done shit, then she should be held accountable.
Yeah.
Like, I don't believe you can really counsel anyone. Like, they should be held accountable. And if they suffer
as a result of their actions, then cool. So be it.
Yeah, but I don't know. It just seems a bit... And then, do you know what? This sounds really bad, but then... Not bad, but it sounds like... I'm not Beehive. Like, I love Beyonce. I don't love Beyonce.
You are so conflicted.
There's a lot going on here.
Conflicted. Like,
I am very. I think she's a very she's a very talented woman, and I'm a fan of her artistry and her as an artist. Because I don't know who she is. For real. But when she says, "Lizzo, I love you," I kind of like, this bitch is innocent. Do you know why? Because Beyonce stays the fuck out of mess. Like, somebody said it the other day, her family has more mess than the Kardashians. They just don't speak on that shit. Mm. And it's true. Beyonce stays the fuck out of mess. She doesn't comment on jack shit. She don't do interviews anymore. So I was like, for her to come out and co-sign Lizzo, she probably knows something we are not privy to.
Yeah, she just fucks with Lizzo.
I mean,
I don't know. I don't
even
think
the people
really
she fucks with, she doesn't speak up.
Yeah, I don't think anything's really going to happen to her.
I don't know, because they've cancelled her Super Bowl, and then she did a post on TikTok. And
no, but did she get? Wasn't she just being she was in consideration?
It's
not as if they gave it to her. I'm sure there were a few people that
she makes a lot of sense for Super Bowl, because she's a black artist, but she's not too black. So
yeah, but then why does that make, why does that make sense above the other people?
No, she makes sense because, like, she's very happy and
pop, safe.
Yeah, that is the, I feel like that is the Super Bowl vibe. Like, even when Beyonce did her set for Super Bowl, it was very, like, it was more poppy than, like...
Yeah, it's so, not going to be Black Power.
Apparently the most, the least watched one was the one where they had, when was it that they had all those black people on stage? I can't remember, but yeah.
I don't keep up with these things.
But yeah, that was very, we digress. But yeah, so we're back with Narvel, and he's home now from his rendezvous. Yeah, and he's chilling, and the narrator says, having had sex with two men, Narvel is back home relaxing with his husband, which I just found like, so funny.
I think this is like 2 p.m. that he's back home. Yeah. So like he was at the crack of he dawn was
fucking
getting
fucking.
His back cracked.
And then he's back home relaxing with the long-suffering husband who's playing the piano for him. This guy loves him off, though. He loves him down bad.
He needs to stand up.
Like, stand up.
He needs to stand up. That's what he needs to do.
And then Marvel's husband calls him a slut, which I... yeah, I don't blame him, well, you know. But I half
blame
him.
I'm sure that he himself will call himself a slut.
Yeah. So Narvel is making tea, and he says he couldn't imagine having sex with just one person for the rest of his life. And then he says that, so this is the bit that we've all seen. He says that he used to go to saunas in America. So he goes on to narrate how the sauna was in Detroit and it was in a black area.
It was in a black area. So most of the men were African-Americans, you see. And they used to say, pass over the white boy. Oh, Lord, you know, and they used to actually physically, I was 19 then. And they physically used to pass me over to the middle of them all. And some of these black men were fat. And they got fabulous tongues. And I loved it. I loved it. You know, I used to come and come and come.
And then men used to shout, pass over the white boy. Ooh, lordy me.
I've never seen such joy in a man's eyes. Oh. Yeah. This is what I saw on Twitter. I said, wait a damn minute.
I'ma do this.
He loved it. Yeah.
He said he was coming like a truck. Coming like
five, six times.
Coming like the underground.
A pop.
Do you know what I mean? Five, six
times.
And then he's saying that like he said that their men had great tongues and big dicks. And you know what?
Well,
you know,
I mean,
what?
I don't want you to be objectifying my people like that, yeah?
I hear it.
But I believe you.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I don't like it. I mean, to be honest, he didn't say it in an objectifying way, but...
Yeah, I get it, but still. Anyway,
no, I know what you mean. I believe you.
But also, he says he was 19, and I was like, I mean, you were so young, but I mean, we'll get more into his story later on.
He was legal.
You know, I'm not saying he's not legal. I'm just saying, like...
You're a kid, yeah.
He was... I mean, maybe not a kid. He'd been through it by that time. But I was like, oh, you were 19 and now you're 69. And these memories are so... they're at the forefront of your mind.
69 is very fitting for him.
Very fitting. This was 50 years ago, bro.
My mum was born in 1969 and we say that's very fitting for her as well.
Were you born in 1969? Because...
It's fitting for me too, isn't
because
it?
Because it's fitting for you also.
No, I wasn't, but it is very fitting. Yeah. So he said he would come so many times, but he can't do that now because he would literally die.
If he tries for that now, he'll die. And he actually would die.
And he actually would die. He's 70 and he looks like a frail 70, basically. Well, he's 69, but what's one year between 69 and 70? So we learned that Terry is his husband, used to be married to a woman, and then they started having problems and he couldn't articulate what was wrong with him or how he felt. He just knew he was super miserable. And
they weren't having problems, he was having problems.
Yeah, well, he was having problems.
He was having the problems.
And then he realized that he was gay. And then he met Narvel and
he also accepted that he was gay, as opposed to like realizing, because it's like he was in turmoil. And so like, because he was so angry at everything and felt like he couldn't really, because remember, we're talking way, way back in the day.
Yeah.
You couldn't just come out. I mean, some people can't even come out now, let alone
then,
way back.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then he had an affair with Narvel. That's crazy.
Yeah. And then they
got married.
Yeah. Got married.
No, crazy. Yeah. At least he went from the side.
See, sometimes you think your man is angry. Really, he's just He just wants his inner gay.
But this is the thing. I feel like, sexuality aside, a lot of the time, when someone's got a problem with you, like, it's not necessarily about you.
Yeah.
Or like when someone's rude or upset or whatever, like, most times it's not about you. It could be anyone. You'll still be feeling this way. But sometimes it is you. So, you know, so be self-reflective in that.
Sometimes you are the problem.
Sometimes. So, not me. Yeah. Hot at you. But sometimes it's you. It's never me.
Okay. So... we learned that Joe and John don't have sex anymore, which, do you know, I found this really...
I feel like maybe I blinked during this part.
Yeah, he was having coffee with a friend planning the wedding, and then...
Oh, his sister.
Oh, his sister, yeah. Mandy. She was a bit homophobic.
She was a lot homophobic and racist as well.
Oh, what did she say that was racist?
Oh, we'll get there. When she talks about the... she basically saying how, like, the things that she said that pissed me off were basically they're talking about the wedding cake and stuff. She's like, are you gonna have a bride and groom or a groom and groom? Like,
which
who's
one
the man,
are you?
Who's the woman?
You never like, asked that. That's
shut
ridiculous.
The fuck up. Like, what are you even saying? Like if one was a man and one was a woman, it would be a heterosexual relationship. Like, stop being dumb. Yeah. But and then she was like, oh yeah, Joe and John are disgusting. And at first, when she said they were disgusting, I was like, this is your brother. But then she was like, oh, because they bring everyone into their relationship, because they have an open relationship, right?
You bring the chip shop lad in, the chinky chonky takeaway lad, everybody.
I didn't hear that bit.
Exactly. Because I've seen this twice now. And the first time I literally like audibly gasped, I was like, no, she didn't. Are you a crazy person? Why would you say that? And then I thought, oh, maybe she didn't mean like a Chinese person, yeah? But then because she had said the chip shop guy before, I was like... And even like Joe's, is it Joe? Joe's face when she said it was like,
she's so fucking
like, you can't say that. I really wish she wasn't here.
Oh my God, yeah. God.
I really wish she wasn't here. Like, she was just, I was like, girl, you need to shut up.
Either way, they don't have sex anymore. God.
Did they explain why?
He just said that she, like, that he has all these young boys, he's not going to want him anymore. That was the crux of what he said. Which
he
is
has
just,
what?
He has access to all these young boys. He doesn't want him anymore.
Is that, does that go both ways then? Do they both just not want each other anymore?
I don't know. It's more sounded like he sounded wounded as he said it, which to me says it's more one-sided. And it just made me think, like, all these open marriages, open relationships, do whatever ever works for you, right? Mm-hmm. But I genuinely believe, for me, the way I look at it is, explore why before
why
you make
what?
That decision
or why you want to be open.
Yeah, because when I see stuff like this, I'm like, this is obviously like a band-aid over the fact that there's intimacy missing from your relationship.
But then there wasn't before, like when they first met.
But they've always been open, because obviously, because if you're in an open relationship, you should still be able to go home and sleep with your partner. I mean, maybe not the same day if you're drained, but
if you need a break,
if you're an E, but why would that part of your relationship be completely dead?
But I think that sometimes, like, the sex, so you know how some people be like, oh yeah, this, they'll write into all these podcasts that, oh, this guy's amazing, he's great, but just the sex isn't good, everything is perfect but the sex. So maybe it's a thing where it's like, actually I'm with this person because of the companionship and the love and the friendship and the financial acumen and the whatever, but like the sex part we would just rather do with other people, and maybe that's why they're open.
Then be
as
friends.
Opposed to like with fucking everyone.
You don't need to
fucking...
be lovers. What's the difference between that and a best friend? The difference between your partner and your best friend is the intimacy. And that intimacy is like the relationship, the level of the relationship, and the expression, like, of
free sex. Yeah, but that's not the only form of intimacy.
No, that's why I said it's the relationship form of intimacy and the sexual element. I don't think it's normal to not be able to have sex with your partner, especially if you're then replacing it, because
you're still having sex. It's not like you're not having sex.
Yeah, because I feel like
anyone.
Sex when you're in a relationship is an expression of your love. So if you're not able to physically express that love,
or if you don't want to. Because it seems like they don't, I don't know, because it's not as if they've said that, like, they're not capable. Like, sometimes people have conditions or whatever, and penetration just won't be a part of that relationship. But I don't know, they didn't really delve into it. So
they didn't delve, but he seemed
hurt. Really tell us.
And I just felt like, oof, you guys should really explore why your marriage is open, really. So we meet 26-year-old James, and he's the bathhouse assistant, and he's been doing this job for 6 years, so he's straight. And he says that he was kind of homophobic before, but since he's worked at the at CS2, he's kind of changed. Which
yeah, and
is
he
like
also
great.
Describes it as like a club, a society, a community kind of thing.
Yeah,
which is good because I think that, I don't know, I feel like inevitably, it's kind of how I feel with racism a little bit. Like, most people are just racist, like, maybe inherently a little bit racist just because of, like, the way the world is. Most people are, like, a little bit homophobic just because of the way the world is. And then it's up to you to be like, oh, shit, like, why do I feel this negative way about this group of people that have done nothing to me? Do you know what I mean? So I think James has got to that point where it's like, these are human beings. Yeah. And then he says something like, I'd rather be friends with a gay guy than like a straight guy who's an asshole, which makes it sound like, oh yeah, as if that's the lesser of two evils. But I think what he was trying to say was that once upon a time I would have just been friends with the straight guy who was a dickhead,
yeah,
even though like he was a dickhead, just because I didn't want to be friends with a gay guy. And he's like, yeah, now, like, almost like, okay, I actually see them as people and not just as this like negative bad thing that I've been taught to feel.
So next up, we meet this oxymoron. His name is Robin, and he's a local Tory councillor. And he's the president of the Conservative Association.
Park that 1 second. Don't you think that the shirt he was wearing... Do you remember that book when we were kids, Elmer? And it was like an elephant. And it had like... The book cover had like colourful squares.
Yeah, yeah.
That shirt he was wearing was literally... And I thought I was crazy. I had to Google it and be like, am I losing my mind? No, it literally copy
it was,
paste.
Yeah, the same shirt. And
same
he,
shirt.
Only he knows where he buys his clothes. And he's the only customer there. Because everything he wears is funny. So he's having this fundraiser. He's having this fundraiser at his house, and there are all these like old pretentious people, and they talk like how you expect them to talk. Ew, darling.
I wouldn't know. I presume a sauna is where people go to relax.
Oh. So obviously the producer goes around asking them if they know what like a gay sauna is, and they're all like, no. And then one was like, listen, I don't know what it is. If that's what they're on, that's fine. Everyone should do what they want to do. Just leave me out of it. And it's like, fair
no
enough.
No one's trying to bring you in, girl. You don't have the genitalia.
You don't have the particulars they're looking for.
You don't
for.
Have the facilities, big man.
So you meet his partner called Andy, and they met each other at like a sauna, a bathhouse. And these men are in their 70s, and Andy's only just come out.
Yeah. So before they just come out, Robin says that basically, Robin's this Tory councillor. Andy, his partner, is a plumber.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, like, where would we have met if not for this? Like, we never would have met. Like, which is true. They probably never would have met.
But he's very classist.
Yeah, that's what he was giving. He was giving like, oh, where would I have met this plumber?
But
if
of
not
course
for this
he's
sauna?
Classist. He's Tory champ. Yeah. And that's why I said he's an oxymoron, because they are literally not interested in any of your rights. So I don't get it.
Yeah.
But these two look like twins. And I've also clocked that a lot of like homosexual relationships, men on men, women and women, like they tend to look alike.
I feel like if I was into girls, I would pick someone who looked like me. I'm beautiful. Like, of course, I'd be attracted
to
myself.
Yeah, but you, the way you love you, that's on another level. So I get it with you. Like, yeah, but I just find it weird that, because not everybody is you, like, loves
because
you the
even
way you love
John,
you.
Even John and Joe, they look
they
alike.
Look around,
they're
yeah.
the same vibe. And the J and the J, like, I was really confused all the time. Like, who's
yeah.
who?
It's weird.
Yeah, that's
yeah,
true.
It's really, really weird.
Yeah, that is true.
So, because I know a few LGBTQ couples that look alike.
Boy. Yeah. Maybe there's need to do a little dissertation on that. Mm. Little research.
So, James ended up working for John and Joe because they tried to pick him up. So his cousin came out and he went to support his cousin at a gay bar, and they tried to pick him up. And he was like, no, bro, I'm straight. So,
but James also says this thing where it's like, he says this thing about where, like, when gay guys try and pick him up, it's like, oh, actually, it's a compliment.
Yeah.
And I wish that more straight men would look at it this way. Like, they get very, like, oh, a gay guy's going to want to be, first of all, not necessarily. Most of you are not fine enough,
yeah.
You know what your gender is like. Do you think that they just want to go for any riffraff?
Yeah? Literally.
But yeah, like, it's actually a compliment.
So, he's kept working at this sauna secret because, you know, there's still a lot of stigma. And he tells everyone that he works at a shop, which it's all going to be, the jig's going to be
up. Yeah, a clothes shop. Yeah, the jig is up now, I guess. But then also, like, if you said to me, oh yeah, like I work at a clothes shop, I'd be like, oh yeah, I'm in town, like when are you off work, I'm gonna come see you. That's just such an easy lie to like dismantle.
Yeah, and it seems like
if anyone
small,
even cared where you worked,
a small town.
Yeah.
But he's actually really beautiful. Like, I think he has a very aesthetically pleasing face, and he could be a model.
He does, but he looks, I don't know when this documentary came out, but it's
he
giving,
looks like noughties.
Yeah, like the spiky hair and that.
Yeah, I was like, oh, brother.
But yeah, he is. He's
yeah, cute. No, he does, but he's beautiful. So we see James cleaning up and there's poop. That was just that line for you, just more putting poop. It out there. There is poop. And yeah. So now we see Narvel heading off to the sauna. And Terry's going for a walk, showing us, like, it's just that... The documentary does this thing where it's like... Terry's on a walk, showing us all these different places, whilst we see Narvel disembarking and removing his cloth to fuck. So it's just the contrast.
To fuck, not Terry. And the thing is, Terry is really trying to convince us that he's okay.
Yeah.
Like, we know that he's not okay with the situation, but he's trying to convince us that he's actually fine with it.
Yeah.
But like, he's not. And yeah. It's like, babe, you don't have to stand for this.
Yeah.
But then he does, because he loves this guy so much, and he just doesn't. I just want better for him.
Yeah, I want better for him as well. And Terry tells us that he has some ground rules, so like, Nav can't bring anyone home, and he does want to know any details.
He says this like he's in control. This is like a false sense of control. Babe, even if he brings someone home, what are you going to do? Are you going to leave him? You're not. It's like Nava's just kind of like, it's almost like just like, what's the word? Placating him or like making him feel like, yeah, okay, cool. I'm respecting your side of things. But he's not.
This reminds me of Miguel and Nazanin. I knew that marriage was donezo when he did this interview saying that he's like a free bird, he can't be tamed, and I was like, who the fuck comes out and says this when you're married? Like,
they were married then, but then they get divorced and then remarried again.
They separated, got back together, and now they're divorced.
Oh, okay.
I feel bad for her. That is how many years? Like, how many years?
You can't look at it like how many years you lost. You have to look at it like how many more years do you want to lose? Because at that point, you'll actually lose your mind.
No. Of course, like, you should leave if it's not working. But I'm just saying, it's mad.
It's also mad because
you should have been known that because Americans get married really young, and they had been together. They already met at an age where really you didn't have that many more years till you should be if you wanted to settle down. So I just don't...
What do you mean? Were they older when they met? Or they were younger?
I think they were. They met... Oh, actually, I don't know. I'm pretty sure they met early 20s. I think.
Oh.
So Americans get married at 25.
Yeah, it's like Christians here, though.
Hmm?
It's like Christians here. Like
I feel like it's more there, because even the non-Christians or non-religions, religious
really?
People... Yeah, Americans generally get married really young. So a lot younger than we do.
Than we do here.
Well. So
also UK talking stage.
The UK will talking stage.
Will
Americans
we ever
are
marry?
On their third baby with their second husband by the time we've just come out
true,
of the
it's true. They're doing anniversaries. We're doing hey, can I get a text back?
What are we? What are we? Who's paying for the date?
Ooh, the ghetto.
So it's Narvel and Terry's date night, and I wonder if Terry's a granddad, because he wears the most granddad shoes. He wears those trainers, that have Velcro straps.
Yeah, I wonder if they... We didn't say if he had kids.
He didn't say.
Mm. But he's old. I don't know if he's older or younger than Narvel, but he gives young. Old. He gives old, sorry. He gives very old.
So Narvel explains that he's never made love. Well, he says something that Terry told him, that he's never made love, which is wild because you also sleep with him, so you feel like you two never make love.
And that's what I thought. I was like, are you including yourself? Or do you just feel... It's like Narvel was his first, like Narvel represents him being able to come out and be gay, right?
Yeah.
So it's almost like he's holding onto that so tightly.
Yeah.
You could have probably found happiness with another man. I'm not saying it's easy, but you may have someone who's same like you, only wants to sleep with you,
and loves you.
But it's almost like you're not letting yourself have that chance to find that, because Narvel is your everything because of what he represents.
So Narvel explains that he agrees with this statement, and that it may have stemmed from him being abused when he was younger. So, sorry, trigger warning.
Yeah, when he was 12. He just dropped 12. That in there. And he says by a paedophile circle.
So there were multiple people.
At 12 years old.
Yeah.
Oh, people have just been shit from the dawn of time,
haven't
they?
From the dawn of day.
It's nothing new.
From day dot.
But then he also says that, like, oh, he's never loved anyone else. So in that respect,
he hasn't cheated. Which I was like, oh, that's an interesting way to look at things.
Okay.
But you still probably shouldn't be together.
I think that if Terry felt the same way and was like, you know what, it's true, I have your heart, you have mine, like the sex thing isn't a big deal, then their relationship would be fine. I mean, and it is fine, I guess, but it would be fine. No one would be upset. Mm. But Terry places emphasis on sex as part of like, you're showing your love to me. Terry, in Terry's mind, it's just sex.
Mm.
Which also makes sense as to why, like, so you having sex with me now, your husband, why would it be anything more than just sex if sex has always just been sex?
Yeah, just sex. Yeah, I agree. So the documentary is rounding up now, and we see Joe and John's wedding, which is really cute. And again, the one who was crying before is crying again.
Yeah, I think that's John's.
Yeah, pretty. yeah, and it's 4 weeks later and they are back in the sauna cleaning up and getting ready for another shift. And that is where it ends. And we can only assume people are still in there fucking. And we don't even need to assume because I searched and it's very much open. People are still getting their freak on.
Do you remember the bit where the guy was like, yeah, like a lot of straight men come to the sauna and he'll see them out in town and like they would be acting weird. Like, oh God, don't bait me out.
Just like, it's not a surprise. People are in the closet, of course. So yeah.
Or even just curious. Maybe they're just curious and they just want to know. That's like an easy way to. And also, there's this bit where who is it? I think it's James talking about how what did he say now? Okay, talking about how like when the working in a sauna, how like it's not like a brothel. I know I've compared this documentary to the one we did about brothel, not because they're the same thing, but just because they're the same type of documentary in terms of being in a workplace and then following people. But he was saying that like in a brothel, you know, people are paying for the experience, like this sex work, that kind of stuff. Like with a sauna, it's a community, it's a place for people to feel safe. Yeah. And like, do you know what I mean? So it's different in that respect. Yeah. So Norville keeps doing this thing, yeah, where he's like grouping monogamy with like the heterosexual experience. Yeah. And I get it because that's like the quote unquote norm, you know, like one man, one woman, marry, whatever. But it's almost like he's using that. He's using him not being straight to justify being monogamous. Yeah. As if to say like gay people can't be monogamous when Terry wants to be monogamous.
Monogamous, yeah.
But do you know what I mean? So it's like,
I feel like it's feeding into a lot of stereotypes about gay, which is just like, oh, gay men.
To justify, like, and it's like, babe, like, your man just wants you and only you. Yeah, just do it with your chest and say and that's what you just don't want to do.
You, like, in the sauna, just say that's what I'm on. Yeah. It doesn't mean that, like, all men or all gay men.
Yeah, exactly. But, yeah, man, now it's time for. Oh, also, before that, yeah, the wedding. Their suit and tie is matching. Did you clock that?
Yeah,
they literally wearing the exact same. I was like, oh, I don't know that I was wearing the same dress as my girl.
Do you? Oh, yeah, probably not.
Yeah, like, you wouldn't. You have your own personalities or your own person. Yeah. Like, you wear your. I mean, it was cute.
It was cute. But, yeah, but, I mean, I expected it from them. They look the same.
Yeah, it's true. It's true.
Plus, like, there's no surprise image as to what your partner would be wearing. It's all.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, nothing to worry about. I don't think they would. Anyway. Now it's time for.
The real crime, I think, was the beard.
Our segment where we focus on something during the documentary that may not be criminal, but we definitely consider to be a crime.
The towel. Quite a few. The towel.
Yeah, I agree. Speaking on the towel, the real crime, I think, was like the cleaning or lack thereof. It didn't seem thorough enough. And I know they kept showing us they were cleaning, but it just didn't. It seemed like wiping.
Yeah,
it didn't seem like sterilizing. It didn't seem like disinfecting. It didn't seem like. Yeah.
Yeah, no.
And there's even one bit where like James is about to handle some of the used towels and he's like, oh, I should probably put gloves on for this. And he goes to put on the gloves. And I'm like, no mask, no nothing. Like, this is bodily fluids, babe. Bodily fluids. Like, we should
what
be.
What temperature are they washing the towels at? These are important questions.
The real
questions.
Crime, I think, is also Terry's hair. It was giving microfabricants.
It
but
was.
I think it was actually his hair because when they showed the older pictures of him, it looked the same. Unless he's had that wig for a long time.
No, I think it's his hair, but it did look, there was a bit where it did look really synthetic as well.
He looks wiggy and synthetic,
He really must spend a lot of shampoo and conditioner because it was shiny as fuck.
Shiny. Yeah. The real crime, I also think, was the sister Mandy. I've spoken on that one. She was terrible vibes and I need her out of here. And then the last real crime to me.
Oh, you
and
had
like,
a lot.
Call me bad vibes, yeah. The proposal, like, obviously, I have not been proposed to, but if I was getting proposed to, I would just need it to be a little something more than that. Do you know what I mean? Like, I feel like I would see
the woman I am and this is the proposal? Like,
and this is the, but I mean, I guess it made sense for them. Yeah. But as me being me watching it, I was like, oh, there's no, do you know what I mean? There's no
nothing.
Music, there's no flowers, there's no nothing. Like, as much as I'm like, oh, I would want to elope or a small wedding, like, I want my proposal to actually be like, lit. I want it to be a surprise, so I don't know that it's coming. I want it to be documented. I want someone to be recording it, but I don't want to see the person recording it because then I know it's happening. And I want to be dressed up and look beautiful. And I want it to be like just me and him. If there's other people there, I have to say no automatically because clearly you don't know me. So yeah, this proposal, I was just like, I mean, I get it. You've been to it for 30 years. It's just a whatever. But I was like, yeah, it just wasn't for me.
It could have been better.
Could have been better. But yeah.
Thank you, Koki.
That's that on that. Next. Oh, next is actually a first for us. Mm-hmm. We are doing a credits, but we're covering a podcast. Dun, dun, dun. We'll be covering Sweet Bobby.
Yeah.
Which is 6 episodes, and it's available wherever you listen to podcasts, I presume. I listened to it on Spotify, I think.
Yeah. This was a while ago, though, so.
Yeah, it's an old podcast, yeah. It's old, but if you want to, I mean, and I think you low-key should listen to it, if you haven't already, before our episode next week, because then you too will feel the feels that we felt.
We're feeling, yeah.
100%. I'm going to go re-listen so it can be fresh in my mind. But yeah, that's what we're doing. Anything else you'd like to say to the people then?
Not at all.
Cool. Well, you know where to find us. Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, Two Girls, One Doc. Two Girls, One Doc podcast on, what's that thing called? TikTok. And then twogirlsonedoc@gmail.com if you want to send us an email for whatever reason. And just rate us 5 stars before you go, please and thank you. And yeah, that's it from me.
Hasta la vista.
Bye.
Bye.